This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, still the greatest nation, despite a very disturbing new survey, which asked people if they think that assassinating politicians would be appropriate, if those politicians were damaging our democracy and hurting the country. Of Democrats, 25% thought, yep, we'd go for the assassination. Among Republicans, the same. A quarter of all Republicans, a quarter of all Democrats, saying that assassination is justified right now. You see it in the headlines of a crazy Californian who comes to Washington to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh, the new justice of the Supreme Court, not so new anymore, but associate justice of the Supreme Court. You saw it in Buffalo, which was, yes, a political killing by an evil white supremacist demon. You see it all over the country and in every faction, in firebombings of pro-life clinics that provide pregnancy services and help with adoption for children who were spared from abortion. Why is all this going on, and what does it mean, and why is it so dangerous to the country, and what do we do about it? All those questions are addressed in a fine article in Reason magazine by J.D. Tuchile, who is a former managing editor of Reason.com and a current contributing editor. And J.D., it's good to speak to you again, and congratulations on the article. And why do you think this violent tendency, which you write about, is coming out at this moment in our history?
Well, we've had years of growing polarization as tensions have simmered, as people have dehumanized the other faction across a political divide. Americans have been sorting themselves by lifestyle, by the places they live, by the organizations they join, by the media they enjoy, and having less and less contact with people who disagree with them. And frankly, people are also losing faith in liberal democracy. And that's not just the United States. I should point out that across the Western world, the approval scores for democracy overall are looking pretty pitiful. Unfortunately, the U.S. is kind of leading the pack on this. So as these tensions rise, as people lose faith in the idea of a limited state in which you compromise, as they start weaponizing the government, kind of needling the other side by punishing them with laws, they don't necessarily think will make the world a better place, but are good at punishing their opponents with rules about, you know, guns, marijuana, abortion, whatever it might be, that they may or may not be committed to in and of themselves, but which they know will hurt their enemies. The tensions just rise. And unfortunately, I mean, you pointed out that poll about assassination, but the results when they do these surveys are pretty consistent. So around a quarter, a fifth to a quarter of the population seems to approve of political violence overall, however you frame the question. And when you see consistent results like that, what you're seeing is a political culture that's moving away from peaceful democratic engagement and towards settling disputes through pre-democratic or, unfortunately, post-democratic means, which is through violence. And that has happened in other countries. Italy is the country I pointed out, which went through this through 20 years of years of lead during the 1970s and into the 80s. And I think we may be, well, not moving in that direction. I think we're soaking in it. I think we're in the midst of that right now.
1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Look, it's an extraordinary moment. I was also struck by that survey that I mentioned that showed that more people felt that assassination was justified than who believed that destruction of property was justified. But both, when you hear the fact that people describe what went on in the summer of 2020 after the death of George Floyd, the level of destruction of property was staggering in terms of people coming around and saying, these are not riots, they're not crimes, they're uprisings. You even had people justifying, in a political sense, looting. Coming into shops that people have built up through the sweat of their brow and expressing their life dreams and destroying that all work in the name of what exactly? It seems exactly. A lot of it nihilistic, as if it simply is people not so much who believe in an ideology, but just who believe in nothing except this raw, focusless anger.
Yeah, we were seeing the tensions rise in recent years, and we saw them in the Obama years, certainly through the Trump years. And then we had the pandemic come in with the resulting lockdowns and the economic and social disruption of that. And I think it kind of turned the heat way up under a sealed kettle. I think that we accelerated what was already an unpleasant process of social breakdown and of rising tensions and of political violence. And we kind of jumped maybe 5 years forward in that process by putting these tensions, by stressing our society in a very unwise way. You could talk about pandemic policy and the whys and wherefores of what was a good idea as a separate issue, but I think it damaged our society. We've seen higher levels of mental health issues, of domestic violence, of social displacement ever since that, and that's certainly coming out in our political process. The question is, of course, is how do you dial that down? And that was a question that was pressing even before all this, and now it's becoming more so. I don't know that there's an easy answer. I mentioned that Italy went through this. It took them 20 years to get out of this cycle. They went after it by eventually shutting down the fascist groups, by shutting down the communist groups, by implementing what was really some pretty harsh police state measures in response to ongoing violence, bombings, assassinations, shootings, and what have you. I would certainly prefer that we not go down that path, and certainly not for that duration. What we might have better luck with is disengaging the sides so that people don't have to necessarily share the policies that their opponents prefer, that we do things like, one of my favorites is school choice. Why argue in a school board meeting with people you despise if you said you can send your kid to schools that share your values and your neighbors who have different views than you send their kids to a different school? If we could extend that kind of policy across our population, reimplement the old ideal of federalism, devolve power down, we might be able to simmer down those tensions without having to implement the rather harsh policies that Italy had to use in the 70s and 80s in order to dial back their violence problem.
Well, you talk about the harsh policies. I mean, one of the problems that you focus on in your piece is the loss of faith in democracy as an institution. And one of the things that I think is very clear is there's going to be no meaningful progress in this process of at least disengaging, as you put it, J.D., until people accept that elections work. They have consequences. If you have a big chunk of the country, and no, I don't think it's a majority, but it's maybe a fourth or a third, it's a lot of people who think the election was stolen and that Joe Biden is not a legitimate president. How do you deal with that as part of the disengagement, pulling away from the extremism and the violence that you're talking about?
And that is a huge problem, and it's not easy to deal with. If a quarter or a third of your population believes nonsense, you're not going to get them to change their minds overnight. There's no easy way to engage with that other than to find needs, and this is where I think the devolving power comes in, of letting them live by their rules while other people live by a different set of rules that may be more rationally based. Federalism originally was engaged in that idea. I mean, you wouldn't have things decided centrally. You'd have them decided as locally as possible. I think getting back to that might reduce the stakes so that people don't feel like they've got to argue over whether an election was legitimate or not, or who gets to punish who after the next election is held.
Can you hang on for a little bit more on this? I'm speaking with J.D. Tuchel of Reason Magazine and Reason.com. We'll be back in a moment.
More of Michael Medved in a moment. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
If you think Washington State's headed in the right direction, well, then this message is not for you. But if you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes, and its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Washington State is our home, and it needs WPC more than ever. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Michael Medved Show, speaking with J.D. Tuchile, who is a former managing editor at Reason.com, current contributing editor. He has a piece up at Reason.com right now called Political Violence Escalates in a Fracturing U.S. And one of the things that I wanted to discuss with you is you're right that this is a is a factor around the world, and there generally seems to be people everywhere who are doubting the democratic process, but it's more striking in the United States because we have always been looked upon as something of a model of a clean and reasonable, often very passionate, but decent elections. And right now we're splitting apart, but we also are facing a general problem of rising violence of every kind, gang violence, drug-induced violence, all kinds of crimes ranging from shoplifting to property destruction to murder to rape to sexual assault. Could the political violence just be a subset of the general increase in violence in this country?
I definitely think they're linked. As recently as the summer of 2019, the FBI was putting out press releases touting the fact that we were almost 30 years into declining violent crime around the United States. The decline had dated back to the early 90s. The rate had dropped, had plummeted dramatically since that point. What happened since then, of course, was the lockdowns and disruptions of the pandemic and the economic fallout from that. And we've seen a rise in violent crime. I have no doubt that people who are a little cracked to begin with, or maybe very angry, can be pushed by an increasingly violent culture around them to think that in order to achieve their political goals, the tools that people are using to achieve economic goals, stealing stuff, or mugging people, are applicable to them. I mean, they'll go after a Supreme Court justice. They'll go after people of a different race they don't like. They'll go after organizations that support causes they oppose, because violence becomes normalized across the board, and you just kind of get this rising tide of awfulness. I do definitely think that they're linked. And I don't know that you can dial down one part of a sick culture without dialing down all sorts of aspects of it across the board. We've got to get the country back on an even keel, prosperous, slower inflation, declining violent crime, if we want to even have a hope of reducing political violence at the same time.
I think that's well said. What about, you're a libertarian, which is obvious in your writing and your approach. I don't know, are you a libertarian capital L, too, also with affiliated with the Libertarian Party?
I have been and still am registered as a libertarian, but there have been some changes in that organization itself with which I'm not entirely comfortable. Not to get into the weeds on stuff like that, but a group has taken control of the Libertarian Party nationally. It has some kind of alt-righty tendencies. I'm not real comfortable with where they want to go. So let's call me a small L libertarian. I believe in liberty and tolerance across the board and society that functions by transparency and liberal rules.
Okay, so we have two elections coming up. We have the election of 2022, where conservatives and Republicans are expecting to do very well, and all indications are that we will. But then we have the election of 2024. How do we most effectively, because it's one of those things I honestly lose sleep over it. I can't figure out a way that you can bring Americans together. They may not even have a presidential debate this time, because the Republicans don't want to work with the debate commission at the moment. But how do we preserve anything like an election season that can perhaps enjoy some bipartisan support for the process, not for the result, but for the process itself?
Well, I mean, there's nothing you could do from the top down. I mean, this really requires, and this is where it becomes so intractable, is that the problem is deeply ensconced to the American people themselves. So you can't just spackle it over and hope for the best. I mean, in a best-case scenario, we just forget about the last 10 years and move on to a 2024 election between someone like Jared Polis, the governor of Colorado, and Doug Ducey, the governor of Arizona, two reasonable people who believe in a free and open society. But that's not what we're going to get. Either of those guys are going to be the candidate. At least I think it's highly unlikely, unless there's enormous and very positive change between now and then. If there was an easy fix, I think it would be something we should all get to work on right now, but there's not. And I really wish I could prescribe something other than work to devolve power and to lower the tensions. And of course, be kinder to your neighbor. Don't be awful to people. But there really isn't a grand fix here. I mean, we've took a lot of years to get ourselves into a bad position, and I think it's going to take a long time to get ourselves back out of it.
I'm taking in what you're saying and finding myself in a large part in agreement with it. The in terms of people other than Governor Polis of Colorado and Governor Ducey of Arizona, Governor Ducey of Arizona is in a state that is every faction, every direction, there are deep divisions. I mean, you saw that with the hearings today that featured the Speaker of the Arizona State House of Representatives, Rusty Bowers. In terms of putting things together, shouldn't there be issues? You referred to school choice. Don't you believe the great majority of people believe that, particularly at this moment, we need to put more resources and more support behind law enforcement and behind police departments to try to bring down the role of violence generally, including political violence?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, anytime you've got a rising tide of violence of any kind, people look to those who are supposed to protect them. But unfortunately, as we saw in Uvalde, Texas, the police we have aren't necessarily the police that we want. So, yes, we do need a revived law enforcement presence. But at the same time, we need criminal justice reform, not the kind that was brought to San Francisco that turned the streets into chaos, obviously. But we need police who can deal with the public on a fair basis, that re-engage with the public on a trusting basis, that the people could look to them and trust them and think, this person in uniform here is someone who's going to protect me from violence, from criminals, from property crime, not someone who is an enemy. So, yes, we need to have effective but also compassionate and reformed law enforcement on our streets to help bring down that tide of violence.
I was going to say, a statistic today, which is just a knockout statistic, there are 500,000 people who are released from prison every year. And of those, a full one-third are back in prison within 3 years. Yeah, we need criminal justice reform. J.D. Tuchile, his piece on political violence, posted at the Medved website, michaelmedved.com. We will be right back with more on candidates for 2024.
Entertain your brain.
It's awesome.
Every day on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Democratic-led House Select Committee investigating the January 6 Capitol Hill attack is holding a hearing Tuesday afternoon about former President Donald Trump's efforts to pressure state officials to turn their electoral votes in his favor. Arizona House Speaker Rusty Bowers responds to California Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff's questions about the former president's claims that Bowers told Trump he won Arizona.
Anywhere, anyone, anytime has said that I said the election was rigged, that would not be true.
And when the former president in his statement today claimed that you told him that he won Arizona, is that also false?
That is also false.
As mortgage rates go up, the National Association of Realtors is reporting home sales fell 3.4% in May. This is USA Radio News.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Best show on radio.
The Michael Medved Show.
It is remarkable. We're talking about how people worry about the future of democracy here and how people don't cherish it appropriately in the United States, and they don't. And part of the problem with all of that is who ever thought in literally a thousand years that democracy would be more cherished, more protected and sustained, and with people willing to die for it in Ukraine than in the United States of America. My grandfather, may his memory be a blessing, got the hell out of Ukraine in 1910. Because there was not even a glimpse of democratic anything in that part of Russia when my grandfather left. And now, I mean, especially with the war having gotten so bloody and so difficult, and with the continued delays, which I hope get corrected, there's one story regarding Russia and Ukraine that I actually found a little bit inspiring. Is they report that for 17 days, the young artists competed in what some have called the Olympics of piano playing. The Van Cliburn International Piano Competition in Texas, one of classical music's most prestigious contests. And by the way, it has a great history to it, too, because Van Cliburn became a huge international celebrity, an American hero. They gave him a ticker tape parade. He became the first American to win the Tchaikovsky competition in Moscow. And that was a big deal at the height of the Cold War, 1956, I believe it was. And anyway, he's now established. The winner gets to win $100,000, And the second place, $50,000, and third place, $25,000. And two of the front runners for winning these prizes, one was a Ukrainian and one was a Russian. And among the winners, finally, were the Anna Zhenyushina, who was born in Moscow. She took the silver medal and $50,000, and Dmitrio Choni, 28, of Kyiv, Ukraine, won the bronze medal for $25,000. And Choni, the Ukrainian competitor, said he felt proud to represent his country at the competition. He said he almost cried at the beginning of the award ceremony Saturday when a previous winner of the competition, Vadim Kolodenko, who's also from Ukraine, played the Ukrainian national anthem. And everybody stood up and cried. It was so touching, Choni said. The situation right now has probably put some additional pressure on me, but it's just an honor for me to be there. Now, here's the interesting thing, and the part that I found inspiring and why I'm bothering you with this, is because Genyushina, who, and I'm not sure how you pronounce it, who is the Russian pianist, she's 31 years old, she left Russia for Lithuania shortly after the invasion, because she was sickened by the invasion, and she's been totally critical of the war, which means she has no future in Russia at all, but she has a great future as a pianist, obviously, international stage. She said she felt uplifted to see a mix of countries represented among the winners. By the way, the overall winner looks like he's about 10. He's actually 18. He's South Korean. Another embattled country that lives under threat. And speaking of under threat, to put into a little bit of context what we were talking about political violence in the United States, there's this from Eugene Volokh, who's a fine law professor at UCLA, and talking on CBS Report about the threats of political violence, clip 9.
What does this say about, you know, the state of the U.S. when we have somebody, you know, roaming the neighborhood looking for a Supreme Court justice, or we have a mob of people building a gallows and screaming, kill the vice president?
Well, it's all very bad. It was very bad, obviously, when there was an attempted shooting at the congressional baseball game, or the Republican game, in leadership, in which I think Representative Scalise was seriously injured. He was shot several years ago. So this is something that unfortunately does seem to be happening quite a bit recently, both at the levels of high politicians and lower levels. Obviously, there was the riot at the White House, but before that, there were all sorts of riots at police departments and federal courthouses and other places, including vandalism and arson. And in fact, there were killings during that as well, although not targeted killings of political leaders. It's very bad, and it's very bad for democracy.
Okay, without any question, let's go to your calls and to Marcus in Silverdale, Washington. You're on the Medved Show. Yes, I can.
Okay, sorry about that. You have a lot of history with political violence, you know, with the Kennedy, you know, assassination and you being right there. So this is really front and center for a lot of people. And I would agree with the gentleman that wrote the article. We're in a territory that we haven't seen for a long time. And this pressure cooker they're tightening the lid instead of letting the steam off.
What could they do to let the steam off?
A great question, and what I would say is allow us to have freedom of speech. I mean, one of the things that when you have disagreements, and obviously in the process of society, you have, you know, political give and take. When you have one side literally shutting down all the discourse about whatever, you know, pick your topic. You know, you can't mention it on Facebook or any of the other social media platforms without being banned, barred, or blown up. And so if you're not able to have a conversation about what's going on, you're not lowering the temperature, you're tightening the lid on that pressure cooker, and that leads to really bad results. So I am, you know, I'm following with what you're saying about this political discourse getting violent, and I'm very concerned about it.
Well, you're right to be. I don't think that the fact is that people are turning violent because they can't be heard on social media. You can find the craziest stuff on all sides in various social media. Now, sometimes you won't find it on Facebook, and you won't find it on Twitter necessarily. Maybe you will under Elon Musk when that goes through. But the idea is that the Justice Brandeis says the problem with freedom of speech is not that there's too much bad speech, because the answer to too much bad speech is more good speech. And I don't really think that the idea of putting some kind of restriction on private companies and the way that they handle the posting of material is going to be any answer, because that's just a different kind of lid on the boiling kettle, which I think is an appropriate analogy that people use all the time. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about the Republican presidential field for 2024. Niles Stanage at The Hill website has listed what he believes are the seven serious contenders for the GOP presidential nomination who are not named Trump. Given the fact that I think with the hearings in particular, there's going to be so much baggage attached to any Trump candidacy, especially given his insistence on continuing to debate and argue and challenge the results of the last election. The only way to win election 2024 is to move on past election 2020. Reruns can be awfully depressing. We will be right back on the Medved Show. Spring and summer, worth celebrating, don't you think? Particularly in the Northwest, but anywhere across the country. And something else worth celebrating, emerging from the pandemic and all the restrictions associated with it. So you're going to be more active. Why not be more ready for all of that activity with Relief Factor? This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more, and helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil, that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Michael Medved.
Here you go again.
And on the Michael Medved show, people are looking forward to the election of November 2022 coming up in, it's actually just a couple of weeks. It's not that far away anymore. And primaries going on today in Alabama, where it's interesting. Alabama is the only state where President Trump had a candidate he had endorsed. He had endorsed Congressman Mo Brooks, who was one of the people who worked with President Trump in the effort to decertify the electors in Pennsylvania and Georgia and Arizona and Wisconsin and Michigan. And Mo Brooks, who had been right at the president's side, made the mistake in the middle of the campaign of saying that he believed that Joe Biden was actually now the president of the United States. And Trump dropped him. He pulled his endorsement. And he's endorsed actually a much better candidate than Mo Brooks, whose name is Britt, and she will be the new senator from Alabama, no doubt. And she's a strong candidate, and I think is one of those candidates who has won both people who like Mitch McConnell, as I do, and people who are very loyal followers of President Trump. But it raises the question about, okay, what is going to happen in the election of 2024? And one of the things that I think the Trump team is trying very hard to do is to create a sense of inevitability. That hey, Trump's going to be the nominee, get used to it, get ready for it. The polling doesn't show that anymore. It shows that he's way ahead of anyone else, but that's because he's so much better known than any of the other candidates. But they put together this listing and evaluation in The Hill, and a writer named Niall Stanage, who I don't know, wrote that former President Donald Trump is still the dominant figure in the Republican Party, but his stranglehold is loosening. Trump-backed candidates have had a mixed record in GOP primaries so far this cycle, with high-profile losses in Georgia, Nebraska, and a key South Carolina district. That would be where Nancy Mace won a surprisingly easy victory, undercutting many other wins. To be sure, Trump leads early 2024 polls by a wide margin, but there's no guarantee that the ever-unpredictable Trump will even enter the race. And there is a growing consensus among Republican insiders that if he does, he will face serious challenges. So if the 2024 GOP nominee ends up being someone other than Trump, who could it be? Well, he lists, of course, first Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. DeSantis is Trump's most serious rival at this early stage, he says. The Florida governor has a multi-layered appeal. Conservatives loved his pushback against mask and vaccine mandates during the pandemic. He has embraced the culture wars with vigor, including his advocacy of legislation that liberal critics dubbed the Don't Say Gay Bill. More concretely, DeSantis is a prodigious fundraiser. He surpassed $100 million in his reelection coffers this spring, which is just extraordinary when you think he's going to be able to outspend his Democratic opponent 4 or 5 to 1, and he'll win anyway. Some figures close to Trump believe DeSantis could be scared off and would be reluctant to enter a head-to-head race with the former president, but plenty of others think he is the clearest example of the kind of candidate, populist but disciplined, who would have a real shot of beating Trump. Then there's former Vice President Mike Pence, and it says the January 6th committee's Thursday hearing last week was focused on Trump's efforts to pressure Pence to help overturn the election. Pence famously resisted, putting his life in danger in the process. Pence's steadfastness on that issue, though praised by many beyond the GOP, could be a problem in a presidential primary. Pence's main calling card in such a case would be his closeness to Trump while in office, but the most fervent Trump supporters won't easily forget and forgive what they see as his betrayal of January 6th. He is a canny politician with deep roots in the religious right. It's just not clear how far those assets would take him in the crowded field. And then this is fascinating, is the view of UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. No one in Republican politics doubts that Haley, who was twice elected as South Carolina's governor before becoming U.S. ambassador to the U.N. during the Trump administration, has her mindset on higher office. She's long been seen as a rising star. Matt McCowiak, who is chairman of the Travis County, Texas party in Republican Party in Texas, says she's just an attractive political figure. She's conservative, but she does that in a way that is persuasive. Pence has a line about being a conservative but not being in a bad mood about it, Reagan's line first. And Haley has that quality as well. Haley is distrusted in parts of Trump world, however, and her political judgment has proved questionable at times. In the immediate wake of the insurrection, she was very critical of Trump in an interview, saying that, quote, he went down a path he shouldn't have and we shouldn't have followed him. And we can't let that ever happen again. They're holding this against her? That's supposed to be bad judgment? To say that Trump went down a path he shouldn't have and we shouldn't have followed him? That, it seems to me, makes her stronger as a candidate, not weaker. She later backed off amid a backlash. That makes her weaker. By April 2021, she was saying she would not run in 2024 if Trump does, but not everyone necessarily believes her. There's Senator Ted Cruz. They point out that Ted Cruz has a huge problem with running for president in 2024 because that would be the year that he would have to be running for re-election to the Senate. He was elected. He beat, as you remember, Beto O'Rourke in 2018, close race. And he needs to run for re-election in 2024. Would he give up his relatively safe seat in the Senate from Texas to make an uphill race for president? I wouldn't count on it. There's Mike Pompeo. Pompeo's presidential ambitions seem crystal clear, they write in The Hill. Within a couple of months of President Biden assuming office, Pompeo was visiting Iowa and helping fundraise for Republicans in New Hampshire, traditionally the two first-to-vote states in the primary process. To skeptics, Pompeo lacks charisma. That's even though he lost, 80 pounds. He lost a great deal of weight, and he looks fine. We should also remember the last candidates who lost a bunch of weight to run for president were Chris Christie, which didn't go anywhere, and Mike Huckabee, which did go somewhere, but it didn't win him the presidency. They also note he's never run for statewide elective office. Prior to his appointment as CIA director, he had served 3 terms in the House representing a Kansas district. Still, he is in many ways the rightful heir to the Trump legacy. He was responsible for most, not all, of the foreign policy agenda. And then they list two of, I think, the most interesting candidates. Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. If Republicans want a nominee who can unite the pro-Trump and Trump skeptical wings of their party and perhaps broaden its appeal among the electorate at large, Scott, they say, could be a real contender. Conservatives like Scott's record and up from his bootstraps personal story, and even political opponents often like him personally. He is the sole black Republican senator as well. Tim Scott is potentially the best unifier candidate Republicans could have, said Doug Hay, former communications director of the RNC. He's the antithesis of polarization. And then finally, they list a long shot, admittedly, but an intriguing long shot to lots of people. Kristi Noem, the very charismatic and photogenic, telegenic governor of South Dakota. Noem took office in January 2019, but only really came to national attention when she railed against COVID-19-related lockdowns, insisting that more freedom, not more government, is the answer. She famously supported the Sturgis motorcycle rally going ahead in her state in the summer of 2020. Well, okay, there were a lot of it was a super spreader event. It was linked to COVID outbreaks far beyond South Dakota. If Noem decides to seek the White House, she'd be one of the most ostentatiously Trumpian candidates in the field. The former president appears to be something of a fan, having held out the hope that Noem might challenge incumbent John Thune for the Senate. She declined, and Thune easily won the GOP primary this month. Noem would plainly be a risk, especially given her scant experience on the national stage, but even some moderate Republicans caution against underestimating her star power and appeal to the party's grassroots. What about the impact on 2024 and 2022 of the hearings? We'll talk today about whatever new developed in the hearings this Tuesday and more about this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi everyone, this is Fred Dreyer for Balance7.com. Do you have acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you like? Your stomach is upset all the time? Chronic pain a problem? Then do yourself a favor and go to Balance7.com. Start living again and get rid of chronic pain. Balance 7 has all the natural ingredients that work to rid your body of inflammation. I take it every day to keep my inflammation and acid indigestion in check. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, get rid of your acid indigestion and inflammation with Balance7.com. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. 800-793-9039 or go to Balance7.com. That's Balance, the number 7.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.